Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, and I am your host, Tom Rafferty. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Rafferty with SAP, and with me on the show today, I have Josh. Josh, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello. Hey, Tom. Thanks. It's great to be here. I'm Josh Greenbaum. I'm the Principal of Enterprise Applications Consulting. I'm a strategy consultant. I work with SAP. I work with its customers. I work with its competitors. I'm across the board, universally available. That didn't sound quite right. I'm a 20-plus year veteran of the enterprise software market. I've been following SAP and many, many others for quite a number of years. And it's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on the show. It's great. One of the reasons I wanted to get you on the show, let's actually, everyone I get on the show, typically I ask them first off, what do they define as a digital supply chain, just to have, kind of have a basis. So what in your words, what do you think a digital supply chain is?
Wow, you threw me a zinger right away. Thanks. to me, a digital supply chain is a supply chain, a strategic supply chain that is effectively run through the strategic use of data. And that use of data drives both process, operations, and decision-making in ways that, frankly, can't be done before. That it's sort of a loose definition because you take it, you go from there and say, okay, you can throw in there the concepts of digital twin and really make that a literal, you're literally watching it, a virtual manifestation of your physical supply chain and managing it in that way. Sometimes it's much more simple than that. And sometimes a digital supply chain really is one in which you are increasing the level of use of the vast quantities of data, of strategic data, to make the right decisions, to manage the demand curve, to manage delivery, logistics, service, all those good things. And in fact, to me, when I talk to customers about this, I look at it as an incremental step-by-step process. So there's a final goal that is some digital supply chain in the nirvana, but it's really it's a long road to the ultimate. And along that long road, there's a lot of options for companies to actually digitize their supply chain and get a lot more value out of it than they are right now.
Okay, very good, very good. Very comprehensive, thank you for that.
Thank you.
So you produced a white paper recently on business networks. So, and it was really interesting. It was one of the reasons I decided to bring you on the show because I hadn't really had I talked to Marcel about business networks as well in one earlier podcast, but your study on the white paper on the business networks went really, really deep. So I thought, okay, let's get Josh on the show and we'll have a chat about that. So for people who are unfamiliar, first, Josh, can you tell us what is a business network?
Yeah, boy, that's another zinger. Thank you. I think I was prepared for that one. A business network really is almost a methodology more than anything else. But the concept is that as you aggregate the interactions of different stakeholders in a supply chain, let's use that as a very specific example, that aggregation of interactions has its own intrinsic value and its own intrinsic sort of operational purpose. What a business network really lets companies do is aggregate data, aggregate spend, aggregate connectivity, aggregate interactions, thus that the value of those interactions increases significantly as the efficiency of those interactions grows. So a business network really lets a broad range of stakeholders find the information they need to be more effective in serving their purpose. And in the process of finding that information, they can really fine-tune operations to be much more effective. So business networks, in a practical sense, you take an industry, pharmaceutical would be a very good one. There's a lot of inefficiencies built into the interactions in the pharmaceutical supply chain. By definition, it's a very extensive supply chain that really extends from raw materials, quite literally, or literally a bunch of fermentation vats growing cells, all the way to the distribution, the point of distribution, the point of use at the patient. And there's thousands, literally, in any pharmaceutical supply chain, thousands of operators who are extracting, manufacturing, distributing. And if you can organize those activities into a single network where it's really a many-to-many set of interactions, you can capture that data that flows through that supply chain and really make it infinitely more efficient. Right now, or we'll say historically, each large, for instance, pharmaceutical company would be maintaining its supply chain. The different partners in that supply chain would be members of other supply chains, and effectively there would be an enormous amount of inefficiency in that. By organizing all of those players into, again, by my example, a single pharmaceutical supply chain, you can really leverage the economies of scale that you get from managing all those interactions in the same place. When you do that, you extend what a supply chain is into frankly, net new opportunities for everybody. And that's what's exciting. So you're no longer just saying, okay, I have to have an efficient movement of goods from the fermentation vat to the patient's desk, patient's bedside. You can also do net new things that you couldn't do before because now you've aggregated that information into a single network. And that network effect is extraordinary, and one that we see in other ways. We see it in an Amazon supply chain, where Amazon has aggregated our data, aggregated its suppliers' data, aggregated its demand data, and really built a very, very efficient operational system. And you can do that in the supply chain as well. And essentially, that's the promise of business networks.
Okay, and it does sound very promising. So do we have any good examples? I mean, you mentioned Amazon, but are there any other good examples of business networks that you can speak to?
Well, yes, there are, certainly. And, we can clearly look at Ariba and what Ariba has done in its ability to aggregate procurement demand and spend and logistics, and say there's a very effective business network, probably the largest business network in existence today. It has very clear parameters around the bulk of its business, which is around procurement. But it is, again, a place where, as a supplier, you can join once and have then have access to literally thousands and thousands of business opportunities. As the buyers, you again have this ability to attach yourself once to it and see this aggregate of suppliers, and you can drive tremendous amount of efficiencies. You can do things involving not just efficient flow of goods, but you can start adding value to that. You can tweak that Ariba network to provide socially more acceptable products. You can do a lot with that aggregated demand, and Ariba is a very good example of it.
Okay, fantastic. And why aren't we seeing more of them if they're this advantageous?
Well, one of the reasons that Ariba is so successful is that it is very focused on it has been historically focused on a very specific process, procurement, indirect procurement, and with a very specific buying center, the vice president of procurement, and of course a large number of suppliers who are already known to one another. That works well because it is limited to a very specific task and set of tasks. It's hard to do that in a larger, more, shall we say, vertical sense, like I mentioned, a pharmaceutical supply chain, for a number of reasons. One is that the ultimate buyers in the pharmaceutical supply chain are going to be competitors. They are going to be looking at this not just for indirect procurement, which tends to be non-strategic, but direct procurement, which is very strategic. In order to make the business network function, you got to share data. Some of that's strategic data. Some of that strategic data is going to be potentially out there for your competitors to see. You have to have a very efficient onboarding process, or it becomes very expensive for the suppliers to join. And you have to really be able to manage the flow of information in a way that's not too creepy. Because again, everyone, you know, if I'm a supplier, ideally you would like to see my, you know, you'd like to see everything I've got, my inventory, my production plans. You'd like to be able to plan as the buyer a very, very efficient manufacturing and distribution process. And that means you need to know a lot about what I do as your supplier. Well, how much of that do I want to put on a network where my competitors are? So it's so on that level, just from the information flow, the complexity of onboarding, the conflicts of interest, that's a big problem. Fundamentally, the other problem is simply there's no single buyer for the concept of business network. There's no VP of business network.
Right.
Again, in the Ariba case, there's procurement. It's very solid buying center. There are, you know, that's hard to replicate across the board. And okay. And that's been, I think, a big barrier as well.
Okay. But technologically, there aren't issues that are holding it up. It's more just the fact that there are potential conflicts there in business cases.
Well, yeah, there's always problems everywhere. But I mean, technologically, one of the problems, you know, and this is the problem we see in supply chain in general, is data quality. Let's just be honest. I mean, you need to have extremely good data to make the kinds of decisions, the high value decisions you want. Let's take a good example would be trade financing. Now that trade finance is a really interesting offshoot of business networks. What trade financing says is let's use that information in the network to really manage the supplier relationship such that I can see my, you know, I have a supplier, I know how efficient his or her company is, I know what their on-time delivery looks like, I probably know a little bit, again, about their inventory deliveries, their ability to meet their contractual obligations. And if I can really aggregate that data and do and really manage it well, I can, if I'm a bank, for instance, I can say, well, you know, Tom, you guys did a really good job. I'm going to give you a discount on the next loan you need to build that inventory to deliver to Walmart for the Christmas rush because you're a good corporate citizen, and I can prove that. I see that in the network. I can see that from your interactions in the network. That's an enormous opportunity. Trade finance is a multi-billion dollar opportunity in the business network world, but it takes a different level of understanding of relationships, and you need very, very high quality data. If the data is flaky, if the data is funny, you're going to make important decisions based on bad data. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And it also means you need a lot of it. So that's the other thing. You got to be willing to sort of put yourself out there and say, I've got, you know, yes, you can see who I am on the network. Because you're going to turn around and give me that discount on my finance, which would be a big thing for, particularly for a small and mid-sized company.
Okay. So with all these challenges, are business networks ever likely to become a big thing or more, should I say, more widespread?
They already are. And that's clearly beginning to happen. Again, it's complex because of the, you know, you got to find who the buyer is, but you can look at certain key areas like logistics, and say that, you know, that's already happening. There are local logistics networks. There are international logistics networks. There's you know, in the ideal world, it's and again, you have to worry about the creepy side of it. In the ideal world, there's a limited number of business networks, so that. Particularly, again, the small and mid-sized companies who really want these networks so that they can have a more efficient process to sell to very large global buyers, they don't want to be putting themselves out of business by exposing this information. So they would and to too many networks at once. They'd like to have control over that. It's costly to participate. It's costly to maintain those relationships. So the real question is, how do you make it not so much that there's are there business networks? Yes, there are regional ones or some specific to different industries. How do you make it so that it's effectively easy and efficient for smaller companies to participate without giving away the store and without spending too much in the onboarding process.
In these networks, it's not just that we can have people talking to people, but we can also have devices talking to devices now that we're in a world of, you know, intelligent devices, connected devices.
Right, absolutely. And that's, you know, that's where the concept of a digital twin mm-hmm. plays into the business network. Again, if I want to have the most efficient business network, I would like to have that data driven on, you know, whether that's, you know, coming from sensors that are managing the flow of goods in my logistics chain, or the, you know, the sensors that are managing them, the or understanding the manufacturing shop floor and my ability to deliver and make good on my, you know, my promises to the network, or the demand signal itself, which can come from as much from sensor and sort of non, you know, non-operational data as anything else.
What's needed for them to really take off big time in the next 5 years, we'll say? What needs to change?
I think
they have been stalled, really, haven't they, for a while?
The promise didn't work out the way we'd like, would have thought it. You know, I think in the dot-com era, you know, when, you know, back when you started podcasting, as you were saying, you know, there was a real notion that we could do this and we could do this efficiently. I think really the main issue is that any company that wants to build a business network really has to look at it as a very long-term strategic investment. It's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take in particular a lot of time because there's fundamentally there's the critical mass problem. In order for the value to be there, you have to have a critical mass of participants. In order for the participants to be there, they have to, you know, to see that value. That value is theoretical in the beginning.
The whole chicken and egg thing.
And very much the chicken and the egg, and you need a lot of chickens and a lot of eggs to make this one work. But you know, we're seeing. I mean, Ariba is a very, very good example. There are others as well. OpenText has several business network concepts that work well at certain particular levels. It's there. It's mostly the companies that can build business networks have to be very large global companies because the real opportunity is in the efficiency of operating a global business network. That takes patience, that takes commitment, that takes investment. And I think, you know, I think we will see more business networks happen on the technological side because we're figuring out the technology very, very well. The efficiency of networking is working. It's now let's get the people and the process moving forward. And I think that, you know, don't hold your breath too long. It's happening already. It's just, you know, the opportunities are, you know, have to come slowly and the patience has to be there to make it work.
All right, good. So last question, and it's a kind of typical last question I always ask people when I have them on the show, and because you've listened to all the shows, you know what's coming.
Thank you. Okay. I love the cackle that comes with that threat. Thank you.
So last question, is there any question that I haven't asked you that you think I should have?
I think, let's see, well, is there a question you haven't asked? You're such a good questioner. I'm struggling here. I guess to me, you know, one question, because I did prepare an answer is, you know, what has something very interesting happened recently in the world of business networks that, you know, sort of nice. Shows that there's some hope. And, you know, again, I'm going to point to Ariba because they are one of the, if not the largest business network. I was actually in Southeast Asia recently in Bangkok at an SAP event where there was an announcement that Standard Chartered Bank, which is Standard Chartered Bank, one of the largest global banks in the world, has now set up an agreement actually to work within the Ariba network to do the kind of trade finance I just mentioned. And what's important is that they focus very much on the SME market, the small, medium-sized enterprise market, which is predominant in most parts of Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. The woman, Lisa Robbins, who runs this program at Standard Chartered, talked about this massive finance gap in global trade for SMEs, and that using the data that you have available in something like an Ariba network a bank like Standard Chartered can do exactly this work. And this is a huge, big deal. They know what they're doing. This isn't pie in the sky. Standard Chartered's been in this world of trade finance for SMEs for a while. Now they're partnering with everybody. Now they're going to take the efficiency of the network and start applying it. I'm pretty optimistic. Southeast Asia will be an amazing opportunity for this kind of business network. So I'm pretty excited about it, honestly.
Wow, that sounds great. Sounds great. Super. Josh, that's been fantastic. Thanks a million for joining us on the show today.
It's been my pleasure, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain, or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application to get new episodes right away as soon as they're published. And also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.